Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health. What she discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, my dog, Phoebe, is the queen of our house, and I can tell you that her health is extremely important to us. She is a part of our family. I watched the video, y'all, and I was amazed by the things I didn't know that could impact your dog's health. This 20-minute video is packed full of tips that I've already started with my dog, Phoebe. I'm noticing more energy, healthier skin and coat. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/RLRC and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/RLRC. Hey, y'all. My wife's biggest struggle this past year was fighting the symptoms associated with menopause. Hot flashes, mild mood swings, and sleeplessness. She had them all until she tried Hormone Harmony. She was amazed at how much Hormone Harmony reduced her symptoms and supported her mood and her general well-being. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today. Hey everyone, and welcome to Real Life Real Crime Daily for Monday, the 20th of February, 2023. And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I am a Mardi Gras rookie named Mike Agavino, who is about to get educated along with everybody else about Mardi Gras and crime.
Yes, and today is Lundi Gras, y'all.
Yep.
The Monday before Fat Tuesday.
And Woody, since we are the resident Mardi Gras experts around here, let's tell everybody a little bit about Mardi Gras and, you know, what it signifies.
It's everything to South Louisiana, but basically Mardi Gras is the month or so preceding beginning of the Lent season before Easter, right? Yep. So mine started out, I was a young boy, much younger than my son, and we lived in, you know, East Louisiana Parish, a rural parish, but my parents had always been going to Mardi Gras and New Orleans their entire life, and I remember my parents taking me down to the big parades on St. Charles this weekend. Well, this would have been this previous weekend, like Bacchus and Endymion and getting rooms and stuff like that. And over the years, no matter where I was in the country, whatever, I always came in for this weekend.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. And it's a huge deal specifically in the state of Louisiana especially South Louisiana, because we are a huge Catholic state, right? You go into some of these Cajun parts of Louisiana, and you know what you're going to see in all the gardens? You're going to see Mary statues.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Everywhere. And so we have parishes. We don't have counties.
Right. Part of, but it goes back to the French part.
That's right. The Napoleonic Code of Law, as they call that.
That is correct. And Mardi Gras is celebrated in so many different ways, y'all. And it all builds up into this week. So this previous month, you've had all the balls. You've had a lot of smaller parades. We call them crews, K-R-E-W-E-S,
yep.
Like Real Life, Real Crime, Friends, Fans, and Crew Page. That's a playoff of Mardi Gras terms. It's multifaceted, and there's a lot of different traditions, and I think we'll talk about some of them today. But unfortunately, there's also a lot of crime that's involved in Mardi Gras.
Indeed. Anytime you mix alcohol
and several million people that come into just in New Orleans proper,
and beads and boobies,
and a lot of fornication acts, and everything else.
Yeah, you're gonna have some issues. So obviously, with us being a crime show, we're going to talk about some of the crimes that have occurred over the years that are more well known than others, and we're going to take it from there. We're going to tell you all a little bit about the history and some interesting traditions that take place in some Cajun communities in South Louisiana that actually have to do with crime. So, Woody, I'll let you go ahead and kick it off.
Boom, Jim. Y'all, going back to when I was a kid, you know, we didn't really worry about our safety at the parades and stuff like that. And even as a young adult coming back in and always bringing other people and introducing them to Mardi Gras and the debauchery and the celebration that precedes Lent, I didn't really worry about things as much as I do now. Now I think it's the culture that we live in and everything else, where everybody with the gunplay and all that, but you'd be surprised to know this actually goes way back when. And then in 1823, they had the carnival tragedy that left more than 100 boys dead. And I'm going to read it to you. Carnival is the week-long celebration before Ash Wednesday. Actually, y'all, it's longer than that. But the day after Mardi Gras, that's Ash Wednesday. Mardi Gras is considered to be the American version of carnival. Though carnival itself is celebrated in many parts of the U.S., long before Mardi Gras became popular, carnival celebrations were held worldwide and often included parties and excessive eating and drinking. That's king cakes, y'all, and alcohol. In 1823, young boys living in Malta came together to celebrate carnival by receiving free food provided by the government at a local convent, used as a way to keep boys from the chaos and adult activities in the street. But as the ceremony began, a scramble for the bread ensued and resulted in a stampede. Some boys, mostly ages 8 to 15, were caught in the confined corridors and tight staircases of the convent. Adults came to get their share of the free bread and immediately broke out. So, y'all, that wasn't... Go ahead.
No, I wasn't going to say that.
That wasn't New Orleans that, you know, Mardi Gras or Carnival is celebrated around the world. I've even celebrated in Cozumel. My parents have been to, you know, Rio and where it's celebrated. But I could tell you in New Orleans, when we go down to party in the quarter after the parades, literally, I would not get on Bourbon on purpose. We would cross over Bourbon because the crowds are so thick. You get caught even trying to cross Bourbon. You can't. It's like a sea of seamen. And I've literally had my feet picked off the ground. I've been moved one way or the other, depending on the crowds. And when they're upstairs showing their boobies, that's what, you know, the crowds stop for the bead throwing. The cops actually come out and clear the balconies like every 10 or 15 minutes just to get the crowd to try to move on. Problem is, when you get stuck in the crowd like that, you get a lot of stuff. I've had people grab my junk. And you can't even you can't even lift your arms. I'm serious. Grab my ass, grab my junk. But the real problem is pickpockets and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, and if you notice in that story, Woody just told they were throwing bread. Now, obviously, they, you know, these days they're throwing beads primarily, but there is a parade. It's called the Zulu Parade where they still throw coconuts.
That happens today on, on Lundi Gras.
Yep. So,
and if you catch coconut, actually, they actually had to quit throwing them because somebody got hit in the head and they sued them. But so they hand them out so now ridiculous. Instead of throwing in the crowd. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you about one a little more recent than 1823, and that is in 2015. I'm going to bring it back to New Orleans with this story, and this is the crew of Muses Parade and some deadly violence that took place. So the crew of Muses is a night parade. There's day parades and night parades in New Orleans. This was a night parade, and in this annual parade, an altercation broke out along the parade route. Two men were shot to death amidst thousands, and I'm talking thousands, y'all, of spectators. The incident occurred at the intersection along St. Charles Avenue, and which is one of the most prominent and historic thoroughfares in the city. St. Charles is beautiful.
Absolutely.
Many of your well-known athletes and well-known audio folks probably live somewhere along St. Charles.
St. Charles has a median where revelers pile up in the median, and they're also on both sides of the street. And nothing clears a crowd like a little gunfire.
That's right. And 19-year-old John Hicks eventually got convicted and pled guilty to manslaughter in the deaths of the two men, and now he has a 45-year jail sentence.
Yeah, he won't be at Mardi Gras this year.
No, he's probably at Bloody
Angola.
Period.
Do they not do a Mardi Gras thing at Angola?
You know, they probably do
something. They probably do something.
Yeah, we'll have to do a research show on that.
I'm going to tell you guys about a little drunk driving incident during Mardi Gras. This is recent years, and
this happened in Baton Rouge too. But
the reason I picked this one is it's a fear I have this week, because I've driven in I don't know how many cities in this country, many. Washington D.C. is probably the only other one that I would say is as ridiculously difficult to navigate as New Orleans is. And Washington is because so many things go in a circle and you can never figure out where the hell you are.
That's right.
So I agree. Whoever the geniuses were who designed that thing originally, I don't know what probably the same guys that wrote the Constitution.
Abraham Lincoln.
But New Orleans, it's not so much that it's a ridiculous design and you go in circles. It's that there's construction everywhere. There's potholes everywhere. There's people that drive in just crazy fashion. There's things that don't look like roads that are roads. It's kind of like a DMZ driving down there. And so I've made a wrong turn or two in my first year living in Louisiana and found myself in thank God for Waze, found myself in some places that were pretty scary. So back in 2017, a 25-year-old named Nielsen Rizzuto was driving his car. And he'd been a little bit overserved, 0.232 overserved. So that's, 4x the limit. Yeah. Probably not a time you want to be driving.
No.
But you know, he's on a Mardi Gras high. So he gets behind the wheel and he took a turn downtown that he wasn't supposed to take. And he ended up going right into a parade route, causing a bunch of chaos and, I mean, drove right through the crowd. In the end, he hit 28 people, including some children. Thankfully, nobody died, but a bunch of injuries, some of them very serious. He was charged with first-degree negligent vehicular injury, hit-and-run driving, causing serious injury, and reckless operation of a vehicle, all of which seemed very reasonable given his move. As I said, he had a blood alcohol level of 0.32, and the limit in Louisiana is 0.08. So one thing about this weekend down there, I mean, thank God for the streetcars, because you can get – it's pretty hard to get an Uber. But last year, my experience anyway, was you could get in a streetcar, and you could get from one place to another. You needed to do a little bit of walking, but it wasn't like you were tempted to get behind the wheel of a car.
Ask my wife what my family rule is. Ask my kids. They'll tell you if you're going in your own Woody Overton, you have to wear comfortable shoes because you're humping it. Pit and pat.
No streetcars?
No. I've ridden them before, but I know where we're going anyway. Yeah. You know, if we're going a parade route to the quarter, we're going to walk that 15 blocks. Not my kids, but
Cindy.
And I want to hear, my feet are hurting. You want to hear the true crime of Mardi Gras? Just try to use the bathroom somewhere. I could be a billionaire if I could just get a spot to rent out porta potties. Dollar pop.
Period. And you brought up Ubers, and let me tell you something. I knew a guy, he used to be an Uber a couple years back. He would just do it for Mardi Gras, and he would make like $6,000 in one night. Right. It was stupid money because it's like $100 to go two blocks, and you're sitting in traffic half that time. And these Uber guys are making a killing.
Well, it's funny you mention that because it is so crazy. When we first decided to come here, we didn't know how long we were going to stay, and we were looking for rental properties, not knowing if we would rent for a little while shopping for a house or what would happen. And we quickly discovered that there's really not a rental market in New Orleans for a house. And one of the reasons why there isn't, well, the reason why there isn't, is people can VRBO their house for Mardi Gras or Jazz Fest or both. And in most cases, get more for the rentals from those two periods than their mortgages for the year. They pay off their whole mortgage for the year off of two rentals and go away on a nice vacation when everybody's in town for Mardi Gras and Jazz Fest.
The tree with New Orleans goes snow skiing or scuba diving.
That's right.
But let me tell you this. You do not want to get arrested the week before or any time, including Ash Wednesday, but certainly preceding, because first off, New Orleans used to have, before Katrina, used to have the worst central lockup in the United States of America, worse than Los Angeles, New York City, or whatever. They would throw you in there and forget about you. Mardi Gras week happens, you're done. You're not seeing a judge. And probably if you get to see a judge on Thursday after Ash Wednesday, you're lucky, but it's probably going to be the next Monday. And you're in there with every drunk asshole from the world and these people that shoot people and everything else. So you don't want to do it. Quick story. 1 year, I can't remember the date, I was with a fraternity brother. I'm going to say his first name, Dan, because I'm not going to say his last name. The cops use horses for crowd control in the quarter. And so it was Fat Tuesday. At midnight, they shut everything down. They come through with the horses and they clear the streets and they, you know, you can go into the bar rooms. Technically, nobody else is supposed to be out. And a horse bit, Dan was a big guy, bit Dan on the shoulder, and Dan turned around and clocked the horse. And awesome. You should have seen the action. Cops came from everywhere and they beat him like a redheaded stepchild. I thought they were going to kill him. And then hogtied him, but like behind his back with his feet and shackled those together and threw him in the paddy wagon. And we didn't see him for like
a week. Yeah. Woody was probably like, let's go get a hand grenade.
I was living in Lafayette at the time. We ended up going back to Lafayette. And seriously, we were waiting on a phone call at the frat house. Jesus, and he'd come to the next week.
Did the horse punch back?
No, he didn't have to. All NOPD punched back. They stomped. And I have never seen anything like
not
that.
A good, not a good
I'm
idea.
I'm not with him. I'm not with him. Horse. Yeah. No, it's a cop horse. It's like canine. They consider them to be a cop.
Was it Blazing Saddles where Alex Karras knocked out the horse with a punch?
No, yeah. He hit the horse and everybody else hit him.
Wow. Yeah. That's insane. Now, and we're going to give you one more on these. And we're going to tell you about seven people who were shot when two gunmen went on a Mardi Gras rampage. Now, in 2009 in New Orleans, seven people were shot, including a toddler, after two shoot. after two shooters unleashed on a public crowd. The two assailants began firing randomly in an uptown neighborhood of New Orleans. The victim included a 20-month-old infant grazed by a bullet, although two of the adult victims were seriously injured and required surgery. Thankfully, no one was killed during the attack. A doctor at the scene commented after helping one of the victims, "I'm off to Afghanistan this summer." Damn, this is more dangerous than Afghanistan.
I actually was working that day on the parade route with Louisiana State Police when that happened.
There you go.
Yep.
Do you remember where in Uptown that was?
I wasn't close, and I didn't have to actually work the crime scene. They had their own techs to do that. I can't remember. I mean, it's been a long time ago. But I remember them trying to cordon off and make a crime scene in the middle of a parade route. Try that one out and see how it works for you.
So that's just some crimes that we wanted to highlight today, in addition to some current news going on with the parade festivities in New Orleans and the problems that come along with that.
Yeah, and generally, you know, a lot of the crimes per se, they would be crimes any other day of the year, are overlooked. Nudity, public fornication, public drunkenness, you know, unless you punch a cop's horse, shit like that, it just goes away. And then every time I've worked down there in whatever capacity in law enforcement, you just didn't mess with people. I mean, you know, even before that weed was legal in New Orleans or whatever term they're calling it now, you just let all those things go. You were there in case a shooting broke out, in case some drunk ran into the crowd, in case somebody got stabbed, you know, pickpockets and shit. I mean, we're like, oh, my wallet got stolen. Okay, well, sorry for you. Yeah. If you got in a wreck, like on the interstate or something, they told you to just pull off and exchange information. We have no cops to come.
You heard it from the horse's mouth on that one. Yep. No pun intended.
Yep. Many, many, many times down there. It is probably the greatest show on earth, eh?
Yeah, you got to experience it at least once.
This. I bet y'all didn't know this law. I can't remember the year they changed it, but it was the law on Fat Tuesday. If you went outside of your house in New Orleans, you would get arrested for this. If you went outside of your house in New Orleans, you had to have on a mask or you got arrested. And I think they changed that in the early 1900s.
Dang.
That's the truth. Look it up.
Now okay. You get arrested if you don't have a mask.
They brought it back in 2020.
That's why 2021. Everybody dresses up. You want to see a show? The whole thing is a show, but you go during the early morning hours on Fat Tuesday because it shuts down at midnight. Everybody comes out in costume on Bourbon Street. They're not worried about going to Rex and all that. They're going straight to Bourbon Street in their costumes, and it is the greatest show on earth.
Yeah.
Freak show. Hey, Shit Business would be all about Fat Tuesday, Bourbon Street.
Shit Business. Let's go on a date.
Oh, God, no, Jim, please.
You and me, Taylor.
Wendy, don't listen.
Wendy knows better than that. All right, so, Mike, you got some current news, I think.
Well, I'm going to talk about our embattled mayor down in New Orleans.
Oh, God.
Who's now
LaTanya.
Become a national personality. She's been going on the Face the Nation and these Sunday shows and talking about the wonderful things she's doing to make New Orleans safer. And honestly, talk about a difficult job. This woman's got an incredibly difficult job. So I don't pretend to think that any of what she's confronting is easy to deal with.
Doesn't mean she's intelligent. By any means,
it doesn't. But she... you know, she's dealing with a shortage of officers. We talked on an episode, maybe way back in the beginning about the NOPD having at one point 1,700 or so officers and being down to about 900 or so officers. And she had come out in August saying that basically if they weren't able to expand the department, they might have to cancel Mardi Gras altogether because they wouldn't be able to properly police it. And so what they have done, which I understand they have done in prior years as
that,
well.
That was a scare tactic. She's full of shit. They've always had outside departments.
Disclaimer, that was Woody.
I don't live there.
They're going to bring in about 200 additional officers from across the state to back up the NOPD's efforts. And while that on the surface sounds like a positive thing, the problem that comes with it is they're paying those outside officers to come in a heck of a lot more than they pay the officers who are already here on the job.
She's lying about that number. I can tell you, even in years past, it's been well more than 200 officers. It's every state trooper that's not on duty. It's Department of Corrections, all their CERT teams. It's departments from all over the state come in and get paid for this every year. So she's full of shit. She's a liar. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm back to how difficult and challenging her job is. we've talked about police training a lot in other episodes. We mentioned it in the Memphis Tyree Nichols case. And I was taken aback a little bit by what they said about the training of these people coming into town. They said that the police department will meet with these additional officers, quote, prior to anybody taking any positions on the route, explaining what our policies are, unquote. That doesn't sound like a lot of training.
That's called look the other way unless you hear gunfire. Hey, I'm going to give a shout out to Matt Potan, captain over District 8. He and I were roadies back in the day, a uniform patrol together. Good luck this week, bro.
Good luck. Well, LaToya is galvanizing all law enforcement officers planning to work in the city of New Orleans this weekend. So I think we can all feel good about her galvanizing everyone.
Very well.
Whatever.
And that kind of plays into our next story, which is the NOPD officers are actually frustrated by the city's Mardi Gras parade pay disparity offered to outside agencies. Woody, as you just talked about, this is a common thing that outside agencies are invited in for the Mardi Gras season.
That's correct. And they pay them a shit ton of money and they house them. Those who are too far from driving away, they house them across the river. Now, look, you can't get a hotel room anywhere in New Orleans, even by the airport, but they'll put them in like in LaPlace and on the West Bank, stuff like that. And but this has always been an issue, and I don't know why they're making a drama out of it now. It's always been an issue.
Well, the biggest issue the NOPD has is that, and to define shit ton, it would be $50 to $75 an hour is what they're offering to the outside officers just in pay, just in hourly pay. Right.
And then you got another per diem for the ones that it's certain mile radius that they'll house them and put a per diem. And I think it used to be like 10 years ago, like $45 a day just to eat off of.
Yeah. So the NOPD, now you may wonder if they get extra money, they do get extra duty pay, but aside from that, they get paid their normal hourly rate. So whatever their extra duty pay is, you know, prior to Mardi Gras is what they're going to get paid. It sure as heck ain't $75 an hour.
And it used to be Matt Potan told me that there was no vacation time approved. And if you try to call in sick during this weekend, you better be on your deathbed and verifiable in the hospital.
That's right. That's right.
It is a mandatory volunteer. Show your ass up.
Yeah, so essentially the attorney for the Police Association of New Orleans, they've filed a lawsuit against the city saying that the NOPD officers should be getting paid the same amount as the outside agency officers coming in.
Yeah, I'm sure their mayor's standing up for them.
Well, it's funny you should say that. A spokesperson for Mayor LaToya Cantrell referred all questions about the officer pay to the NOPD. Yeah. So they asked her why the pay was lower, and she said she doesn't speak on that. Only the NOPD does. So it's kind of a back and forth deal. But people may be surprised to know, and it does raise an eyebrow to me that you know, outside officers would get paid more. But I do get the fact that they're trying to entice people in. You already have a job there. They don't have to entice you.
Yeah, well, most of them want to come in and see the freak show anyway. Again, I have several good friends down there, and I was supposed to work there. But let me tell you what NOPD stands for. No other police departments. I'll tell you why. The couple St. Tammany parish deputies, sheriff deputies of friends of mine were carrying concealed in the quarter one night, and NOPD stopped them and basically slammed them into the wall, took their shit, even though they were commissioned and everything else, and they weren't inebriated or whatever, and like literally took all their shit. And Jack Strain was the sheriff at the time, and he found out about it. And they're like, you don't belong down here. You don't care in our city, da, 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 da. So Jack Strain called. I forget who the chief was at the time. And that chief said, well, your boys can't carry down here. And Jack Strain told him, he said, that's okay. NOPD, no other police departments, that's fine. I'll keep my guys out of your city. But I'm calling every sheriff in the state of Louisiana, and I'm telling them what you did and how you treated my guys. He said, I'll keep my guys out of your city. You keep your guys out of the rest of the state.
There you go.
So,
two can play that game.
Right.
I love it. So that's just a couple current crime Mardi Gras stories and the issues that you may not think about that come with New Orleans and Mardi Gras and carnival time and all that. So we're about to tell you about probably one of the most historic crimes in the history of Mardi Gras. And that is something that Mike is interested to hear about because, you know, he's not in tune with all of our traditions here in South Louisiana.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara. Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried AstroPro? It's faster, bro. Oh. All right. AstroPro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this, and you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use Astapro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, planting my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. AstaproAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Astapro and go.
Just yet.
A traditional crime?
A traditional crime indeed.
Okay.
So this is known as Coureur de Mardi Gras. And
how do you spell that?
It's a you don't want to know. Yeah. Google it.
How can I Google it if I can't spell it?
So we want to shout out before we do this, Woody.
Lisa Marks.
Lisa Marks. So I spent a long time on the phone yesterday with Lisa talking about this.
Sonia.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Big supporters of everything we do. And also lives in one of the communities that probably the main community that celebrates to this day Coureur de Mardi Gras. And for those of you who are not Cajun French, that is translated into Mardi Gras run.
Right. And Lisa Marks definitely has the accent, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, so we're going to tell you about this. For those that are unfamiliar, it's a traditional Mardi Gras event held in many of our Cajun and Creole communities in South Louisiana. It occurs the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday. So Fat Tuesday.
But and it goes back, I'm sure you're going to say it. I know this goes back hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years. Actually goes back to medieval times.
Right.
It's a cell, you know, for those of you that may not even be familiar with Mardi Gras or exactly what it is, it's a celebration of the final day before Lent, and celebrants drink and eat heavily.
Right.
So they already got me hooked. I'm already interested.
Right. You overindulge. It's the last day before you start the fast and et cetera.
Yes. They dress in these specialized costumes and look
homemade.
And I'm going to have a real life, real crime daily assistant, Cindy Overton, post some pictures on Real Life, Real Crime's crew page and all that stuff. So if you're not following that yet, go follow it. Cause we're going to post some pictures of these outfits. Yeah, it's going to blow your mind. There's actually someone in Church Point, Louisiana, that her whole business is making these outfits all year long. She makes a beautiful living off of it,
right.
And they are really unique. Now, they wear these outfits to protect their identities, and the popular practices include wearing these masks, y'all. They're pointed, and don't think KKK. They're not KKK stuff, but they're pointed like that.
Yeah.
And
I bet you the KKK got their hoods from this tradition.
It's possible. And they are so unique. Some of them have real long noses and they have grass beards and all these sorts of things. And the whole point of the Coureur de Mardi Gras is to go get ingredients for a gumbo. But you're not just going and getting the ingredients.
Yeah, going to the Piggly Wiggly.
No, there is a entire process to how they do this. So essentially, they all get together and they start drinking, and this is early in the morning, and the Capitan, he is the leader of this Mardi Gras, and he has co-capitans who explains to them the rules and the traditions they have to follow on this expedition to get ingredients for the gumbo. Usually, they're riding on horseback. The Capitan wears a cape, and he carries a small flag. After he organizes all of the co-capitans band start to play, and he leads them on the route. He goes to, this is private houses, and this still happens today.
And it's generally on horseback.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, on horseback. He goes to private houses, and he's the first to approach, and he asks permission to enter the property. At this point, and in the spirit of individual Mardi Gras, he will attempt to sneak onto the property.
Right.
And they are held in check by the capitans, who stop the co-capitans from sneaking onto the property by brandishing a burlap whip.
Yep.
Now, these whips are used to maintain discipline during the Courier de Mardi Gras, and they are used by the captains and the subordinates only. The whips are designed to be flexible, not inflict any serious damage to their victims, and just produce a loud noise.
Yeah.
Participants claim one has not fully participated in a Courier de Mardi Gras until he's been whipped.
Yeah.
So they essentially go to these houses, they sneak on, and they steal, and this is all in fun, y'all.
Right.
They steal ingredients for this gumbo.
Right.
And
I've actually been to what is considered one of the original ones in Mamou, Louisiana. It's M-A-M-O-U, I believe the spelling is. And there's a large amount of drinking before this kicks off.
Yes.
These crews, right?
Yes.
With the captains. And they mount up on horseback in costume so they can't be seen. But they go out, and y'all, for you listeners who don't know what a gumbo is, it is a delicious meal that started with the roux. You have to stir the roux for
hour
and a half to, you know, the darker the color, the better. And then you add in all your ingredients, which the Holy Trinity is, which is celery, bell pepper, and onions, and then whatever meats you're going to brown, sausage and chicken or turkey. Now, when they go out on these things, they got to have to get all these ingredients, right? In a gumbo, you cook it down for hours and hours and hours and put it together. It's a really kind of a social event, kind of like a crawfish bowl. But they go out there, and you want to see something funny, I guarantee you can go online and look up these celebrations with these drunk guys chasing. The funniest part is when they chase these chickens. They chase chickens, and there's like 30 guys chasing drunk guys chasing one drunk chicken on foot. They get off the horseback, or some of them jump off the horse. Wait,
the chicken's drunk?
No, the guys are drunk.
Oh, you just said one drunk chicken.
Oh, well.
It's a drunk chicken after they get it.
It might be a drunk chicken.
Forcing the chicken?
So some of the drunks will jump off the horseback and try to tackle the chicken. But, you know, you've ever seen Rocky training when he's chasing a chicken around a thing? Imagine if it's in a field in Mamou, right? It's just a big fucking deal.
It's huge. Yeah. And you brought up Mamou, and I'm going to tell you a little bit. The important thing to remember here, folks, is each individual area, and I'll name a few for you: Church Point,
Eunice,
Mamou, Lejeune Cove, yeah. Swallow, South Cameron. These are some of the Cajun communities that really do this. T Mamou Lota is another one. And what they do is, and T means small or little in Cajun French. But what they do is they all have a little different spin on this event. And I'm gonna tell you Mamou since Woody brought it up. So in Mamou, basically, which for those who are unfamiliar, it's in Evangeline Parish here in South Louisiana. It starts with a street dance held the Monday evening before Mardi Gras, right, with bands performing. Which is today. So the Mamou Playboys are probably playing.
That's right.
Right now, they're a crowd favorite. The next day, a street party begins in anticipation of the Courier. And they go through the countryside, and they basically start collecting ingredients for that evening's gumbo.
Stealing.
They prefer collecting.
Sure they do.
As we told you, the revelers are all mass, and this is an all-male troop of guys,
right.
Okay? So They're accompanied by a wagon for the musicians and the trailers
and
who
the
do
alcohol.
Yeah, and the alcohol, and participants are on horseback.
Right.
So the event was suspended twice only in its history, during the American Civil War and during World War II. By the mid-1940s, Mamou tradition had declined, but was revived by Alfred, Fred Tate, Revan Reed, and Paul Tate, who were proprietors of the then newly opened Fred's Lounge. And they got together and said, we don't want this tradition dying. Right. Because, look, a lot of Cajun traditions are dying. The Cajun language is a dying language. People don't speak it like they used to.
It's because in the schools down in South Louisiana, especially after World War II, they would punish you. The Cajun kids who came in and speak the Cajun French, which is some dialect, they would punish them if they spoke in Cajun. So they made them do English, and as time went on, people lose it. It's very rare to find people who can truly speak Cajun French.
That's anymore. Exactly right. My father-in-law, who was from Arterville, Louisiana, actually did not speak English until he was in the third grade, and I'll tell you why. He actually failed the third grade his first try because the teacher was English and he didn't understand a damn thing she was saying.
Right. Yeah.
And he was kind of forced to learn English, but until the day he died, he spoke Cajun French to his brother.
Right.
My son knows some Cajun French, but it's a very dying language, sadly. Now, let me tell you about Church Point's version of that.
Church Point Range.
Which is where Miss Lisa Marks is from. In Church Point, the Mardi Gras is basically the same as it was in the old days, so they are very traditional with it. In 1961, a gentleman by the name of Elton Richard actually formally organized the current event, which until then had been kind of individual groups of people. They would get together and kind of do this. He made it much more organized. Only men are permitted to participate, and Mardi Gras participants must be fully masked and costumed in their costumes, y'all. I'm telling you, you got to Google that. You got to check it out. Go to the crew page. But the Capitan holds his position as leader for year after year until he decides to relinquish it. He appoints his co-Capitans, who, like himself, must not be masked. The Chanson de Mardi Gras in Church Point has its own unique lyrics. The Church Point Courier is held on the Sunday before Mardi Gras, and consequence of the formal organization in 1961. Elton Richard and Senator Paul Tate of Mamou flipped a coin to see who would have their official career on Mardi Gras Day. Cool. They had to flip a coin. And Mamou won, and as a result, the Church Point Mardi Gras is on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, so it was yesterday.
You know what? Lisa, the next year, I'm coming to hang out.
She invited us. She said any time.
I actually would have done that.
Yeah, so that's...
I didn't know that the coin flip. You know why theirs is on Sunday and the other one is on Fat Tuesday? Because you got to have a little bit of hangover time on
that's
Monday.
Right.
Everybody from...
Shoot, I need a week after that.
Church Point okay. Rain is going to Mamou.
All I got to say is I am not taking any shit from anybody in the state about Italian traditions. When y'all are doing this shit. So these are all kind of places that are...
These are Cajun, literal... Cajun community.
So no one's going to try and break in my house and steal a chicken from me.
You have permission to blow the brains out, they're not going to be greeted
kindly. But you may not know where you live at.
Before Katrina, before they got rid of all the projects, you literally could not go two blocks in any direction and not hit a housing project, including where you live. I forget which one was there, but I'm not saying you live in a multi-million-dollar home, but you have multi-million-dollar homes, and in two blocks you have the projects. But yeah. So
it's 27. $27 million. Oh,
okay. Can I get a piece of that? Can I get chicken wing?
Chicken wing.
But no. So it's That's Southwest Louisiana. That's the Cajun tradition. It's different all over the state. Up in Alexandria, Rapides Parish, shout out to my people up there, but not to the parish itself. Can't stand you. They have more of a country Mardi Gras, right? And every little town and community does their own little parade. And like I'll tell you what, one of the biggest ones on Fat Tuesday, or the biggest one on Fat Tuesday in this area, is actually in New Roads, Louisiana.
Yes.
In the small town.
And we were going to talk about that a little bit. Okay. I'm glad you brought that up.
All right, go ahead.
It's like you've got ESP.
How fortuitous.
Yeah. So one of the things you may not be familiar with is in South Louisiana, Mardi Gras takes place pretty much everywhere, but there are what I call some spots. And it's not just New Orleans you got to experience Mardi Gras in.
Yeah, that's right. All different types.
That's it. Yeah. And New Roads, is what he just brought up, is a phenomenal parade.
Absolutely. And my grandfather had the first camp on the town side, almost right by Bogart's, the boat landing. So I got to experience that a lot growing up after we got done with New Orleans.
Yeah.
And look, it's more family-oriented.
100%.
But it's still a lot of Mardi Gras, right?
Yeah. Family parade.
Everybody's cooking in their parade spots, and you know, everybody gets drunk. But it's more, you bring your kids. It's like Kenner. Kenner and Metairie have the truck parades, is what they call them. And those are more family events. I submit to you that, you know, and Demian and Bacchus and all that are more throwdown events for adults.
Agreed. And it may surprise you to know, now, for those that are not listening from Louisiana, New Roads is a very small community. It's a small town. It's known for False River pretty much, which is all that's really there outside of, you know, the 2 seconds you pass through the town. However, during Mardi Gras, New Roads will host around 80,000 people.
Right.
Imagine what it does to that community.
One little strip of street. It's a two lane road. It's no four lane through there. Shout out to all my people and friends there. Love y'all.
Yeah, New Roads, a great time. And look, Lafayette, one of the top spots outside of New Orleans for Mardi Gras.
I used to live there and rode in the crew there.
They are no slouch when it comes to Mardi Gras, obviously. And it's right outside of those little communities
and really great atmosphere for parades and stuff, more family oriented than New Orleans, but totally different than Church Point and Rain and Mamou and all those areas. Totally different.
Yeah, that's what makes it great, is the traditions change from kind of like from area to area.
And you're raised on it. I mean, I was raised, I can't remember not knowing Mardi Gras.
And how about Houma?
Houma, there's another one we'll talk about too. But Houma has a great throwdown. I've been down there too. The Houma Indians is a big deal. But it's a great family oriented parade and been rolling forever.
Yeah. Yep.
So we didn't talk about the Indians in New Orleans.
Well, let's talk about them.
Do you know about it? I can't remember the name of the crew, but you talk about, you reminded me of Lisa talking about them making the costumes all year long. Mm-hmm. The Indian tribes in New Orleans, and that they don't hold a float parade, but they build their costumes, these really elaborate costumes with, and the longer you've been in the crew or whatever they call them, the more feathers you have in your headbands and all that stuff. And they do the dances in the street, and it's less known, but really amazing. Go Google that. I can't remember the name of it, but I guarantee you say Mardi Gras Indians, New Orleans, and you'll get it.
Yeah. And a lot of Native American presence that you may not be familiar with in the New Orleans area. And that is the Houma tribe is awful close to there. So just over time, that's expanded, and that is something, Woody, that you bring up that I neglected to mention. Look, King Cakes in Houma.
Right.
Ooh, Mr. Ronnie's hot donuts.
What's the meaning of the baby?
Go ahead. You tell him. No, you tell him.
If you get the baby, you got to buy the next King Cake.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
No, there's something else. It has something to do with the royalty thing. No, because they're made out of plastic now.
I know. I was being effed with.
As opposed to real babies.
I was being effed with when I swallowed the baby the other night.
Oh, did you really?
When you don't, Woody, look at me.
But don't worry about it.
You don't have to eat the baby?
No, but you'll see it in your toilet a couple of days later.
Can't wait until the baby floats up.
Oh, my gosh.
So there are over 40 Mardi Gras Indian tribes throughout the city of New Orleans, including the Wild Magnolias, the Young Massey Hunters, the Wild Chapatulas, the Bayou Renegades.
Golden
Feather Hunters. Each tribe has positions among its members, such as Big Chief, Big Queen, Spy Boy, Flag Boy. Each position holds an individual responsibility in the tribe. And, y'all, it's just, it's a long-run tradition. It doesn't necessarily mean they're Indian. They may have some Indian descent, maybe African American, whatever. But you got to look at that. Some of the costumes and stuff they wear.
Yeah, you need to Google it.
I escorted one of the queens to the crew at Carrollton back in the day for the ball, and their costumes. I emceed a Mardi Gras ball last year in Baton Rouge, but the costumes for these balls and stuff, y'all. That girl's headdress must have weighed 60 pounds. They had people that had help her hold it up. I'm serious.
Just like a train in a wedding. Yeah.
But it was like 10 feet fucking tall with feathers and shit on it. Yeah, it's beautiful. And this has been going on for hundreds of years.
Yeah. So there's a little bit for everybody. There's family friendly parades there. Baton Rouge has some amazing parades, Southdowns.
But the one that's not family friendly is Spanish Town, one of my favorites also. Yeah. My dad used to have balcony on the downtown parade route on Third Street.
That's what I call the dirty parade.
Right. On Third Street, I actually got asked to ride in the parade this year, but I couldn't do it. But that was before, and you were talking about somebody ran into the crowd. I don't know if you remember this. 10, 15 years ago, whatever, a guy ran through the crowd in Spanish Town and ran over and killed a couple of people.
That was a horrible event. So Baton Rouge holds their own definitely on the parade stuff. You have Orion, you have South Down.
They have a crew of mutts.
Bring your pet
dogs
out there.
Bring your dogs, and you parade with your dogs.
I saw one of the earliest parades was Chewbacca's. You guys familiar with Chewbacca's?
Yeah. I had seen that.
That's the dog one?
No, that's where everybody comes in Star Wars gear. You got a bunch of Chewbacca's.
It's a play off the Bacchus, obviously.
Yeah, it's a little play on Bacchus.
So they have parades literally every weekend, and it becomes more frequent and leading up to Fat Tuesday, but it goes on for well over a month.
Yep.
Leading up to Ash Wednesday. And
Woody started drinking 28 days ago.
Yeah. I've been training my whole life.
Okay. Well, in all seriousness, if you are a Real Life, Real Crime Daily listener in Colorado, Idaho, Wyoming, even the Lake Tahoe, Mammoth Mountain area in California, and you'd like to stay in my $27 million house next year during Mardi Gras while I stay in your ski house, please reach out. A swap is definitely doable.
And you only have to pay $2.7
million.
But for real, though, like the big parades, so let me back up one. Endymion, which is always on Saturday night. Bacchus is always on Sunday night. But they have parades that roll before that on the same route. So you can get your kids out there and catch all the beads and shit. When it starts to get a little raunchy, send your kids home with their older brothers and sisters and throw down. And the bands, they have high school bands from all over the nation that come and march in these parades.
Right.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, and of course, and also
$200 million bonus for New Orleans this weekend.
That's right.
Except for the police officers.
You may wonder, expense wise, these people that ride in these parades, it ain't cheap. You have to buy your own beads, right? Number one. Let me tell you what, a bag of beads, a little Ziploc bag, is about $10.
Give a shout out to the crew of Denham Springs. I was the grand marshal for the parade last year, and they provided all my beads.
Did they really?
Yeah. Each
scooter,
each float.
Keen.
Each float.
I know you did that.
Scooter actually gave us, my family, their own float. We rode on it. You rode on it, didn't you?
Yeah, I was on that float.
I was the Grand Marshal.
And I recycled beads because what I did was took all my beads that I caught from previous years, and that's what I used to throw.
Everybody does that.
Yeah.
But the,
so if you got any beads, I'll take.
When you're Grand Marshal, each float has to provide you with a certain amount of throws. Which I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
Chase Tyler, shout out to you for driving me and Billy Amy for riding.
Yeah. And, you know, I took I have friends that ride Crew of Tux and those big parades in New Orleans, they have to buy their own beads, yeah. And you have to pay to be, you know, just to be in the crew. I mean, one of my friends, he budgets about $5,000 for beads for those New Orleans parades. Ain't cheap.
MC,
yeah, and they're just throwing them.
I was an MC for one of the balls, God, I can't remember which one. One of the crews in Baton Rouge last year. So I emceed the Mardi Gras ball itself, and I'm fortunate that I have my own tux, but I dropped a couple grand.
Yeah.
Just myself that weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, any final thoughts?
Let me reiterate those listeners out in Colorado, Wyoming.
You tried king? Oh, you said you tried the king cake.
I love the king cake's great.
What's your favorite flavor?
There are flavors.
Oh my god!
Oh, yeah.
I had
pralines and cream. You got to try that.
I like strawberries.
Lemon, blueberry.
Lemon's good.
But my all-time favorite is pralines and cream. Where you get it from? It's so stuffed with. It's like, have you ever had a praline?
Well, I love. Pralines and cream
ice cream. That's bullshit. You gotta have pralines made right there in New Orleans, and it's not pralines and it's not crayfish. They make them right in New Orleans. Is where they're made. Pralines. You go anywhere and get an original made praline. But they take that and they do it in the filling inside the cream cake. Inside the king cake with the cream cheese.
Us Cajuns would say Cebon.
Cebon.
Yeah.
Is there? I mean, because they're all over the place.
Yeah, it's a big competition. It's a running every year competition between who has the best king cakes, Gambinos, and whatever. I'm gonna tell you what, LP's got a couple contenders, and one is Oak Point.
Oak Point.
The other
Carter's.
One is Carter's too, yeah. And the other one is in Springfield. They started out making donuts when I was a young cop, and now they have their own separate place. But God, I can't think of the name of it. Shout out to you.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. You know who you are, because if I go to Springfield this time of year, my wife goes, she's giving me a king cake from there.
So Oak Point or Carter's, if you'd like to sponsor our show.
Or the only place.
That was a free shout out.
Right, there you go. Yeah, you can give us, yeah.
There you go. Yeah,
shout out to them.
Shout out, Carter's and Oak Point.
Talking about the baby, Mike. When a king cake is served at a Mardi Gras celebration, everyone wants to know who was served the slice with the baby. Well, what does it mean if you find one? Tradition dictates that finding the baby in your cake symbolizes luck and prosperity, and the finder becomes the king or queen for the evening. So you were the queen.
Shit.
You were the queen for the evening, Mike.
I was neither king nor queen. But I did eat the little plastic baby, so we'll have to.
When you get it back, and when you get out your poop, you can put it on the shelf. One last story: and how I raised my kids in Mardi Gras and everything too. My daughter, when I was a single dad, she still lived in Belchase with her mama. And her mama called me one day, and I'd gone down to talk to her. She was like second grade or something. I'd gone down and gave a law enforcement talk to her class. But her mama called me and she was all upset. I said, "What happened?" She said, "Caitlin came home yesterday and said she got the baby and a king cake, and I needed to bring king cake to school." She said, "So I showed up to the classroom with the big king cake, and the teacher's like, 'What are you doing here?'" She said, "Caitlin said she got the baby yesterday." And she said, "Miss Overton, we didn't have king cake yesterday. My daughter just wanted a king cake, so she's lying since she got the baby." And mama brought, and then she
that
got
was pretty slick. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, that was slick.
That's
very
some,
good.
That's some Woody over and shit.
That's it. All right, we're gonna land this ship.
Happy Mardi Gras, everybody. Happy Mardi Gras, and we love y'all.
Yeah, and until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
The Queen.
with real life, real crime. Daily. Peace.
Shabusiness. Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.